Ash was hit from the side, breaking eye contact. Josh shook his head, a sense of dread filling him. He cut down another creature trying to scale the wall, dodging out of reach of a rotting vine.
"The Archlich is coming!"
Josh yelled to the rest of the guild, as he focused on dealing with the scaling creatures. The undead now covered the pit, turning it into a flat ground for them to cross. The second bone juggernaut was getting closer. It was making good progress, and its health stayed the same as the stone raiders were focused on the undead at their walls. Just then, several spears made of shadows slammed into the mana barrier, making it quiver and turn an angry red. More and more spears smashed into the barrier, coloring it darker and darker. The spear's aura made Josh quiver in fear.
"If they make it through the barrier, they'll blow the wall apart. I need to save the POEs.
Us players can come back."
"POEs to the center of the camp! Support from there!"
Josh called out. If it was any other time, the POE might argue about being treated different than the players, but they understood. Right now, they could split their guildmates' attention when they couldn't spare it. The undead parted for their master and his skeleton army. Josh glanced at the army. All of the skeletons and bone creations were of a high level, each exuding an aura of decay and maliciousness. A truly massive dark spear crashed into the barrier. Two, then three, followed afterwards, making the barrier shake dangerously. Cracks formed as the barrier strained against the Archlich. Those that were near the runes for the mana barrier pushed their power into it. The wounded that couldn't move altered their stone raider amulets to supply power to the mana barrier. Even if they died, any bit of power they could put into helping the stone raiders get victory, they would give it. It held for just a few more minutes. It shattered under the constant and unrelenting barrage. Where the spears had impacted, they had killed all of the undead around. Spears careened off into the sky before the Archlich adjusted to fire more at the walls.
"Get back!"
Josh yelled, turning, as he saw a dark spear appear around the Archlich and race towards the wall. The world seemed to turn quiet as Josh saw some people trying to jump away from the section of wall that the spear was aimed at. Others were too caught up in battle to notice the spear or others' warnings. The black spear crashed into the wall. As it struck, the wall exploded like a bomb, people being thrown like ragdolls. Undead on the wall, or near it, were thrown back, killed by their master's spell. Stone raiders were killed by the explosion, or torn apart by the raging dark mana that made up the spear. Others were crushed, or hit by the flying debris.
"Get down from the walls!"
Dwayne called out. As time resumed its normal pace, blood fell from a cut on Dwayne's forehead. The stone raiders' camp was chaos, as everyone tried to flee the walls, as spears seemed to come in from every direction. Josh leapt from the wall, glancing back at the Archlich that was now halfway through his undead army. Darkness seemed to cling to him like a cloak, as a sea of darklings raced out of it, racing towards the defenses as fast as the spears that were cracking his defenses. The darklings rushed through the undead, turning them to ash as they floated through the openings in the walls.
"Darklings!"
Kim called out.
"Blessed land!"
A golden light grew over the area that the stone raiders were pulling back to. Their strength had been cut down by a third, and they were in a space half the size, with the walls exploding, being pummeled into gravel as undead surged forwards in the new openings. Even if their fellows were cut down by the Archlich's magic, they continued their forward charge. The darklings cried out as they entered the blessed land area of effect spell. The undead screamed, their dark bodies falling apart among their weakest members.
"Mages, focus on blessed land!"
Josh yelled out.
"Darklings are only affected by magical weapons,"
Lucy reminded everyone.
"With me!"
Dwayne yelled, charging forward the few feet to the undead that had entered the blessed land. his sword and shield moving, taking down a darkling and an undead without pausing his charge. Then the skeleton army arrived. Josh rushed forwards with his twin daggers, dispatching anything that came at him. There was a commotion behind the undead as the skeleton army appeared. They came through the openings in the walls, cutting down anything in their path. Undead that were too slow to move felt the sharpened bones of their master's personal army. The arch-lich let out a screech, rising over the stone raider's broken walls. Josh swore that the creature looked pleased with the chaos and death it saw. It held out its hand, dark streams of light streaking out to crash into the blessed land's spell formation. Spells and weapons were aimed at the arch-lich, but it didn't even pay attention, as they were eaten up by the dark mana that surged around it. Its power was like a crushing weight on the stone raiders. There was no way that they could survive against everything that was attacking them. "It's up to Party Zero now." The thought brought with it a sense of calm, as Josh attacked with abandon. He knew that he would probably die, so he was going to use everything he had to give those to either side of him a chance. He would die to give his guildmates the chance to live.
"Stone Raiders!"
Josh yelled. His cry seemed to rally the guild.
"Stone Raiders!"
they cried out defiantly, even in the faces of creatures that had come back from the land of the dead. Bone creations, covered in serrated bone blades meant to tear and rip, moved over the walls. Instead of recoiling in fear, the stone raiders surged forwards, eager to greet these new opponents. Dave dropped to the ground in a roll. He came up brandishing a sword and shield. A savage smile crossed his lips. When he'd been healed back to full health, he'd glanced at his notifications to find that he had made it to Master Level 1 for Two-Handed. It gave him the ability to claim the class Weapons Master, which gave him plus 20 to Vitality, plus 10 to Endurance, and plus 15 to Strength and Agility. He laughed as he slammed the undead out of his way. Every hit with his sword put the undead to permanent rest. They stormed through the front doors. What had been hard for Party Zero before was now easy for the 50 stone raiders fresh from their respawn. The stone raiders moved into a protective circle. Malsor's walls had been broken down in most places, but it didn't matter now. Malsor nodded to Dave. Dave looked up at the ceiling, making a square of metal in the roof above them. He destroyed it, but the conjured item had cut right through the floor. It dropped to the ground as Dave continued to conjure boxes and then destroy them in the floors above. It continued up for a dozen floors. Dave dropped his arms now, thoroughly drained.
"It's done!" he yelled. "Pull back! Malsor, we ready?"
Dia asked. The circle of stone raiders became smaller as they moved toward Dave and Malsor.
"As it will ever be," Malsor said.
What looked like a gazebo made from metal seemed to grow out of the ground.
"Everyone on!"
Dia yelled. The stone raiders jumped on the 30x30 metal box. Walls erected around them as they shot upward and through the holes Dave had created in the ceilings above. Sweat seemed to pour from Malsor's face. He hadn't yet recovered from the last time he had been in the library, only 3 hours ago. The box stopped, and the stone raiders poured out, finding themselves among bookshelves in a massive room. Heavy footsteps could be heard, converging on their position.
"Dave, go find it! Steve, Anna, Induka, cover him!"
Dia yelled. The sources of the loud noises appeared. Three lumbering bone lords. The stone raiders organized themselves, used to the dance between themselves and higher-leveled targets. Dave and the others grouped together.
"Bye, dickheads!"
Dave waved at the bone lords as Malsor pushed them through the library, closer to where they needed to be. Dave shook his head as he got his bearings and started to run. He felt bad about leaving his guildmates, but he needed to find that box. If he got to it fast enough, then he could end the Arch-Lich and his minions.
"We're nearly there!" Dave yelled.
He used the bookshelves to get higher. He winced at what he was doing, but between books and helping his guild, he'd pick his guild every time. The Archlich's eyes filled with pure anger as he turned toward the Grand Library. He had felt faint life forces moving through his domain of death. Enraged with the loss of his bone juggernaut, he had not been paying attention to his most sacred treasure and close-kept secret. Now his alarm runes flared to life. Living and breathing creatures had made it into the Grand Library and were heading straight towards his phylactery. With a screech that could be heard through the entire college, he rushed toward the Grand Library. The air exploded around him as he sped off in the direction of his phylactery, his source of life and continued survival. He called on every spell he knew to increase his speed. He had underestimated them. He had thought that they had run from the Grand Library in fear. It was clear what their aim was. He had tried to use all the trap runes that he had, but something was destroying them before he could. His screech of frustration pierced the ears of undead and living alike. The skeleton army and undead forces turned as one, rushing towards the Grand Library to defend their master's most prized possession. The Archlich's face was unreadable as he heard cheering in reply to its screams.
He would make them pay. He would bring them back to death again and again, until he bound their souls to their very bodies. They would be his first Draugr, their souls twisted and shaped to serve him throughout eternity.
Chapter 21. Breaking Space and Time.
"Okay, I've got the inference skill," Malsor said. The spell he had been using died down.
"Good. I'm going to need to remake my armor," Dave complained.
"Well, you did make it let out a surge of power into the phylactery to destroy it. How is it looking?"
Dave reached into his bag of holding and pulled out the breastplate of his armor.
Holes showed through the steel, and different layers. Even the mithril was heavily damaged.
The underlayers had been melted from the intense heat of Dave's magical coating, melting itself so it could destroy the phylactery. The front panel that formed a vault-classed soul gem had also been destroyed. Other than the front breastplate of mithril, he only had his backplate. That was also pretty damaged, but had most of its coating intact, and the soul gem hadn't been destroyed.
By fire!
Malsor shook his head at Dave's pained expression as he held the Abscondita armor in defeat.
"Well, everything can be fixed." Dave put the armor away and grabbed a book from the ruins of what had been the secured books in the Grand Library.
A number of them had been destroyed by the fight that had taken place, but it was not as bad as Dave had feared. Most of the books were intact, and they had access to everything up to journeyman level through their relationship with Shard. Here, they were cheating the system by going right to the source and getting the master and expert-level books. With the inference skill, it would improve the amount of information they would both retain. Their librarian classes would help as well. They sat down among the wreckage and read the books.
"Okay, I think I have a rough idea of how the positioning system works. They make it really frigging complicated, though."
Dave pulled out a notepad, flipping through three books around him as he started to write out a magical circuit. He sent it to Malsor, who looked up from his book to check it on his interface.
"Makes sense to me. The math is beyond me for the most part, but it should work, in my mind."
"Good. Now we just have to figure out how these things can punch a hole through the physics we both know.
Simple." "While it might not be simple, I think I am starting to understand a few of the theories in these books. I will need some time to think about it, though."
Malsor had a thoughtful look and returned to his book, making notes on his interface's notepad. Dave looked to his stats.
"Well, if I'm going to start putting stat points into my attributes, I might as well start now. Might help me out with this a bit. I'll take myself up to level 16.
Dave had 30 points that he could put into his stats, being a single point under the level 17 threshold. Right now, I'm a pretty balanced player overall, but balancing my stats is just going to mess me up later. I'm going to get a massive boost to my stats by completing this quest. Also, I use my smarts more than anything else. With my inference skills and magical coding, I'd kick my own ass if I didn't invest it into my own intelligence. Dave dumped all of the 30 points right into his intelligence. He took a deep breath, as everything seemed to become clearer to him. He was able to recount information faster, and with more clarity. He remembered his physics lessons from back in high school. Different articles he had read on possible space drives. Possible wormhole theories. He opened up his interface, knowing the exact locations of the information. He took pictures of the different stacks of information, reading hundreds of pages in the space of just a half hour, sending them to Malsor as he read. He felt the need to read everything within reach, to consume all of the knowledge. With his higher intelligence, the more he read, the stronger he would become. Unlike a normal human brain that had a hard time remembering what they had done the day before, or a week ago, Dave knew what he had eaten as a 4-year-old. All the cumulative knowledge of his childhood from Earth was just waiting for him to call on it. He took a breath, becoming tired from just remembering it all. He let out a sigh, getting used to his new level of intelligence. Two people are approaching, Ella Dorn and her husband. Dave stood.
How do you know it is her husband?
They have similar compounds in the air around them. Two people of different races only get that if they have spent a lot of time together. They're also holding hands. Dave smiled.
What did you do? Malsor asked, studying Dave.
I just put 30 points into my intelligence. It's a rush. Dave laughed. He checked his character sheet and looked at his new information. Character sheet. Name, David Gruslock. Gender, male. Level, 16. Class, Dwarven Master Smith, Friend of the Grey God, Bleeder, Librarian, Aleph Engineer, Weapons Master. Race, Human Dwarf. Alignment, Chaotic Neutral. Unspent points, 501. Health, 15,300. Regen, 5.24 per second. Mana, 3,330. Regen, 13.50 per second. Stamina, 2,180. Regen, 10.70 per second. Vitality, 153. Endurance, 262. Intelligence, 333. Willpower, 270. Strength, 218. Agility, 214. Malsor whistled out a tune, putting his book into his bag of holding as they walked out of the restricted area of the library.
I've got it, Malsor said, as they got to the main lobby. A pillar of materials formed from the walls that had kept the undead at bay.
Dude, as much as I get used to this place, this is cool as hell, Dave said with a stupid grin, as they were lifted up off the ground and lowered down into the lobby. Malsor laughed at Dave's almost childish excitement. They stepped off, exiting the library's lobby, just as Ella Dorn and her husband reached the top of the stairs in front of the Grand Library.
Ella Dorn, what brings you and your husband here? Dave asked.
Ella Dorn's eyes thinned as she studied Dave.
How did you know we were coming?
A man must have some secrets of his own. Dave winked.
The elf with Ella Dorn was tense, but he looked amused at Dave's actions.
I am Malsor. This is Dave. Good to meet you.
Malsor offered his hand to Ella Dorn's husband.
I am Ella Gal.
The high elf tilted his head slightly as they shook hands. Dave brought his fist in for a fist pump.
Damn, I'm good.
Was scared you were just going to be your boyfriend.
Dave shook Gall's hand.
So, it was a guess?
Ella Dorn asked.
Partly, but all things are in the end.
Kind of like your damn teleport pads in the portal factory. Dave rolled his eyes. Even though he wasn't looking at them, he could tell through his touch of the land that they had tensed up.
So, what brings you to the Grand Library? Is there anything we might be able to help with? Malsor asked.
We were wondering what you are doing about the portal factory,
Elidorn said, diplomatically.
Well, we're figuring out how the teleport pads that are made in the portal factory work, so that we can work backward from there to understand just what the heck the different machines are do.
I'm an idiot.
Dave slapped his forehead.
What did you do now? Malsor asked.
My mastery of magical circuits. I don't need to know how to code it. That's the slow way. I can destroy one. Then, with my intelligence, I will be able to understand what the heck is going on. I have the ability to understand whatever magical circuits I destroy. Sure, I might not know the science behind it. Give me enough time and information, and I'll figure it out.
Well, you'll probably figure it out before me. You're more theory smart than I am.
Dave gestured to Malsor.
How did we miss that?
Malsor slapped his forehead. Elidorn cleared her throat.
I must ask, what do you wish to do with the knowledge you gain about the teleport pads?
Thoughts whizzed through Dave's mind as he held up a finger.
Sorry, one minute. Brain's still going here, Dave said,
feeling like there were only a rare few moments when he would gain the inspiration he was getting now.
Okay,
Dave clicked his fingers.
So you lot studied portals to make teleport pads.
Portals have power sources that are just entirely massive. They tap into the mana streams running through Emerillia.
They are also set, which is why you had so many issues.
I need to destroy a teleport pad right now.
Dave started to move toward the nearest teleport pad.
Gall made to block his way. Could you please answer the question?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have about 100 portals that are unlinked and under my control. If I can figure out what you did to make your teleport pads, I can maybe use it with the unconnected and untraceable portals and make them connect to not only teleport pads, but portals on other planets. I would need the coordinates, but I could connect multiple portals together. Right now, we have point-to-point transference. You have one portal on Emerillia that connects to one portal in another area, with creatures trying to kill you. Imagine if you could dial those portals up, just like your teleport pads, but in those hostile lands. Now that I have a higher intelligence, I can see it. I can compile all the information on the portals. They open at a set time and close at a set time. But if we have portals, we can go in whenever we want to, at any location. The portal on this side would be in locations of our choice. Supplies are a massive bottleneck when the portals start opening. You have all these vendors, but they're looking for the portals where people are going through the most to make the most money. It might mean that in a new portal location, players could come back to Emerillia and have to travel days before they can get their supplies. We would just have to change which portal we're connecting to. We could do what few have been able to do. We could farm entire planets, Dave said. A massive smile plastered on his face as he saw his dream in his eyes.
How is that possible?
Elidorn looked to Malsor.
Is that possible?
Malsor laughed. Dave was already writing notes down on his interface's notepad.
One thing you're going to have to learn, Elidorn. If Dave says that he can do something, he's going to do it.
Do you really control that many portals?
Elagal asked.
Dave does. Malsor nodded.
How?
I built my house on them.
Dave grinned, looking a bit crazed before he went back to his notes. Elidorn rubbed her face, as if she were developing a headache.
Do you know what kind of resource those portals are? Just having one in your possession, not to say hundreds of them, all of them unsecured and not linked to one another. Do you know what we could learn from them?
It was clear that she was starting to think on her words for the first time, and was surprised by the results.
Well, we already are Aleph engineers. We do know quite a bit about you lot.
Only makes sense that you know something about us.
You know, alliances work only if we both have shared interests and secrets. You are trying to make an alliance with us. Signs are all there. I know that the rest of the Stone Raiders will be excited. You're kind of like an awesome myth. Dave's face scrunched up. Though you're going to want to have us keep your existence a secret. Maybe tell the demons and beastkin. Make an alliance with them. Though that is a big step, if you ask me. You are a bunch of introverts as a group. Anyway, means we're going to have to keep this entire quest a secret. Which is going to suck, because who doesn't like to brag? Anyway, I can use a broken teleportation pad. I don't need to destroy one that is in working order.
Have you been spying on us?
Elidorn asked. Nope. Shard is a very loyal AI. He wouldn't allow us to do that. Even if one of us were married to him, he literally can't. The Aleph come first, and your protection is paramount, Dave assured them. For right now, since I just upped my intelligence attribute, my mind is going through a bunch of changes. Means that I'm making all kinds of things connect. Also means I don't have much time till it slows down. So which teleport pad can I break? I'll make another one if this works. Promise. Dave gave his half-crazed, excited smile. The Ellas looked at each other.
If we lose a broken teleport pad, we can make it again.
Having someone who knows how they work is rare, Gall said.
Okay, on one condition. We get one unlinked portal to study,
Elidorn said. You're getting the better side of this deal, but fine. Dave held out his hand. Elidorn shook it.
Now, which teleport pad can I destroy? Dave rubbed his hands in excitement.
I have a candidate lined up. It is broken and out of charge, but it should be intact enough for you to understand the teleport pads, Shard said from above.
Dave clapped his hands together, making Elidorn jump. Lead the way, my finely ruined compadre.
Dave took off at a run for the nearest teleport pad.
Good meeting you.
Malsor then chased after his friend, who was sprinting all out. Their speed was incredible as they cruised through the street, both Malsor and Dave with wide smiles on their faces. The future was calling to them, and it was filled with more possibilities than they had hoped for that morning. Dave put his hands on the teleport pad. It was cracked in places, and had been half eaten by something. With his touch, it seemed that most of the magical circuits were in place, and although not functioning, he could learn what they each did. Magical circuits. You have detected damaged magical circuits. Do you wish to destroy them for the chance to learn their function? Cost, 1,000,000 mana. Yes or no?
Dave moved up to the teleport pad, pulling out his burnt and disheveled backplate.
Yeah. Let's see what secrets you're hiding.
The area around him lit up, as the runes in his armor and on his body glowed with mana rushing through him. He tilted his head up, his eyes white with power, as his mana destroyed rune after rune, burning through the magical circuit. Information flooded his mind, faster than he could comprehend.
Elidorn covered her eyes as Dave glowed with power surging through him. She gasped. She had never seen someone channel that much power through themselves before.
Ribbons of colored light rose out of the broken teleport pad, weaving through the air and moving through his glowing white eyes. It lasted for 5 or so minutes. Before the light died down and the teleport pad crumbled slightly. Burn marks where runes had been.
Ugh, that sucked. I think I'm gonna pass out.
Dave fell over. A shadow leapt up to grab him so he didn't smack his head on the ground.
Well, that was one hell of a show, Elagal said.
Does he know how to make the magical circuits?
Elidorn asked Malsor.
I guess we'll find out when he wakes up,
Malsor said, as the shadows picked Dave up.
I'm going back to the Grand Library. Dia is not going to be happy about him knocking himself out, so it'd be good to keep him hidden for a while. And I have some books I want to read.
Malsor smiled. Want to join me?
I'm interested in how much he now knows, and I do have to check on my college. It looks like it's fallen into disrepair while I've been gone,
Elidorn said. That's fine. Just make sure you don't pick up any loot. We've got stone raiders going through and pulling the loot together to sell later.
Fine with me. I have one question, though. What is this rune coding Dave was talking about?
I hope you have your notepad ready, Malsor said. Elidorn could see a familiar excitement in Malsor's eyes. Reading and gaining knowledge was half the fun of her work. Teaching another about it and seeing the spark of understanding in their eyes was the other half. She wondered how much she would be able to learn from Dave, Malsor, and the rest of the Stone Raiders. A sense of excitement replaced the one of foreboding. Sado stretched in his chair. Using the mirror of communication in its conference mode could leave him stiff after not moving for so long. Sado looked around the room, his mind focused on what his people had accomplished in such a short time. It was impressive, to say the least. They were already in the process of working on a stealth scout ship to find Amarillia. The defeated and downtrodden looks of his people had now been filled with hope. Sado activated the mirror and placed his hand on it, a smile on his face. He accessed the conference function, waiting for Dave to connect.
Hi, Sado.
Sorry, Dave is currently passed out, Shard said after a few minutes.
What happened?
Panic rose in Sado's chest. He consumed more knowledge than his mind could handle, and he passed out. He should be good shortly, but right now he's being hidden from Dia, so she doesn't get annoyed at him for going overboard again. Sado shook his head. Well, do you mind if I ask you some questions? Sado asked.
Certainly.
Shard smiled and moved to one of the seats. Sado moved to the other. So, we've been looking at making our own magical circuit AI, and we're wondering if you had any plans for it.
I do, but I am not allowed to give many of my plans out. It might be an idea to talk to Anna on that. Also, magical circuitry is not as versatile and efficient as magical coding that Dave has developed. It is my own hope that I will begin transferring over to a newly magically coded server, instead of my current spherical connections. I am able to talk over a few points here and there that I am interested in developing for myself and might interest you.
Well, first of all, let me get my friend Edwards in on this call. He's the one with the most questions. Sado sighed, feeling out of his depth.
Certainly.
Shard looked genuinely excited to talk about magical circuitry and coding.
How is that possible?
Elidorn asked. Well, it's about the understanding of the elements and the affinities. See, when you increase in one affinity, your body is altered on a very small level, so that you can increase your proficiency with whatever your affinity might be. So, if you're working with Earth, you get larger and more nanites to allow you to move larger items of Earth. With water, the condensing part of your nanites increases, allowing you to gather more water faster and direct it with finer control. However, one thing that few people take into account is environment. If you're trying to gather water in a desert, then it's going to take not more mana, but more time to maintain the same spell to condense the water in the air and give you something to drink. Fire is one of the most robust, as it is introducing stored chemicals within the nanites into the air in order to create the desired effect. Being angry and throwing out a punch is not going to be as effective as understanding the system that you're using and manipulating it. Mages, at most, are using about 30 to 40% of their ability. Take Dave, with his knowledge and understanding of the magic system he is using. He can get up to 60 or 70% understanding, which makes him rather powerful, Malsor said with some pride.
So, coming to understand not only your element, but the magical system of nanites and mana, can allow you to increase its efficiency. You can also do it in environments that are sympathetic to your affinity. Water magic in the ocean, air magic in the middle of a windy day, fire in the heart of a volcano. Though we don't usually see big changes in how magics work in these areas, because we don't understand the magical system. Creating a cycle of magical suppression, as we aren't near to pushing our affinities and magic to its limits.
Elladorn just sat there, trying to fully comprehend what Malsor was saying. Her mind made connections as the gravity of his words hit her.
"Teach me more about the magic system," she demanded,
her attention wholly focused on him.
"Still having a discussion, I see,"
Elagal said, walking between the beaten bookshelves.
"With Malsor's knowledge, we could double the power of our magical output," Elladorn said.
Elagal looked impressed, as he looked to Malsor in confirmation.
"I, too, was skeptical at first, but I had a very good teacher, and she is something of a magical technology savant,"
Malsor said proudly, keeping away from telling them that his mentor had been the Lady of Fire herself. Dave lurched up from where he lay on the floor.
"Oh! Ow!"
He promptly lowered himself back down to the floor.
"Dave, you okay?"
Malsor moved to him.
"Uh-huh. Just my head really hurts," he complained.
"So, do you know how teleport pads work now?"
Elladorn asked.
"Yeah, kind of. Well, I know how the thing works. I just don't know why."
"Malsor, you figure out theories and laws of wormholing?"
"I have been able to understand a great amount of it.
I still have a lot of information to go through. Well, I can get started on the portal factory. I don't think I should have too many issues in getting the place cleaned up.
Then we can go over to Cliff Hill and get a portal in payment for the Aleph."
Dave made to get up, ending in a groan and him lowering himself back down.
"Maybe after my brain has stopped ringing."
"That might be an idea."
Malsor shook his head as Dave started to use his interface, adding to the prodigious notes he had been taking before he destroyed the teleport pad. Elladorn and Elagal went off to see the rest of the library and show Malsor where the best books on wormhole theories and science were located. Dave opened up a voice chat with Cole.
"What?"
Cole asked, sounding half asleep. "When will we be ready to put in that purchase order for the teleport pad?" Dave asked, his mind still moving forward with his plans.
"Should be by the end of the week,"
Cole yawned.
"Okay, good. Should be done by then,"
Dave muttered the last to himself.
"I'll talk to you later, then."
"Was that all you wanted to know? What time is it?"
About 3 in the morning for you?"
Dave held his breath. Silence drifted between the two of them.
"Next time I'll check what time it is. Sorry, had a kind of big development here," Dave said.
"Good night, Dave."
"Good morning, Cole,"
Dave said with cheer, imagining Cole's face scrunched up in frustration. Cole closed the voice chat.
"Good morning? What am I, 6? Am I sure that this new intelligence helped me?"
Dave moved to his character sheet. Now that he had made the decision to start using his stat points, he needed to really start figuring out his total fighting style. "Well, conjuring is my prime go-to. After that, strength and agility." Dave looked at the character sheet. He dismissed it with a wave, his headache calming down. He pushed himself up. He wobbled on his feet, feeling unsteady, as if his natural rhythm was messed up. He took some test steps. His foot came down slower than he was used to. Dave looked at his legs, deep in thought. "It's almost like those games where you go in slow-mo. Your limbs move so slowly as you do the same actions. There's like a heaviness to your actions. Wait, did me increasing my intelligence increase how fast I think? I might not have felt it when my attributes were lower. Sure, I would gain a lot of stats in one go, but at those lower levels, it's not so much. At these higher levels, just getting an increase to a few attributes, you can feel a difference." Dave pondered it for a minute and went to the Emerilia Wiki.
He headed over to people doing Max Min spellcasters. The wealth of information that had been added onto the wiki was incredible. Dave kept bookmarking different things for later, as he reached a post by someone with an intelligence over 350.
Hello, fellow Emerillians.
So, I've been Max Minning my character in intelligence and wisdom. I found that once I crossed the 300 range, I started to get a lag spike. I reached out to the admins, and they said that it was part of the game. After about 3 weeks of me complaining, they finally came back and told me that it was an in-game mechanic. Once you hit around the 250 mark, you'll start to have rare moments where things seem to slow down for a second or two in high-stress situations, or when you haven't slept long. I didn't realize it until they told me. This game is freaking awesome. So, once you hit around 300, it's like a few bits of a second off. But then it's a real pain in the ass trying to walk around. Once you get to around 350, it starts getting fun. Your casts are faster, and your reactions are faster. It's weird because it kind of feels like you think faster. I have no idea how they do this, but I tried it out with doing my work in the game, and I got a month of work done in just a day. Intelligence is the way to go. Edit. Increasing your agility becomes almost necessary around the 400 mark. Otherwise, you feel like a fish in jelly. It sucks. With the increased agility, you can actually move as fast as your slow-mo. Edit. Made a video of me fighting a level 230 fiend. Dave clicked on the video. The fiend was made of some black material that seemed to be formed in hard angles and lines. It was pitch black, except for its burning eyes, and flames that seemed to flicker across its back and make its chest glow. The camera view was from someone up in a tree watching, as a human wearing magical robes stepped out into the barren area that the fiend was moving across. It seemed to move in a black streak toward the mage, only to be hit with three spells before it had reached halfway. It clawed at the mage, finding nothing but air. Instead, it recoiled as five magical hits pushed the fiend back. Its black skin flashed red in pain as it reeled around and started moving faster. The mage fired from their destruction staff and their own hands. The video was slowed down to actually see the player and fiend's reactions. The fiend's claws came across and over, and then under and up. Two hits that would have turned the mage into a shredded mess. The mage dodged to the side of the first attack, unleashing a lightning attack that hit the fiend's second arm, blowing it off as the fiend ran past the mage. Dave watched in disbelief. The mage laughed as the video sped up again to real time. The fiend howled out in pain, trying to once again rush the mage. The mage seemed to be done with playing around. Magical attacks rang through the area. The trees that the recorder was in swayed as the fiend's rush was stopped. Fire seemed to escape its body from different cuts. The fiend let out a bellow of flames, meeting an air attack that cut through the flame and dispersed them. The fiend tried everything, but 2 minutes later, it collapsed to the ground. The area around the mage and fiend was a war zone. There was nothing that the fiend had been able to do against an attack like that. Dave looked down at the description under the video. Player, Maglador. Level for the video, 287. Dave shook his head. The mage was much higher than the fiend, but he was using lower-level spells to show off his crazy casting speed and his dodging ability. I bet that if he got hit just once, it would have been all over. Dave scratched at his scruff, though it shows me another use for intelligence. Okay, so, increasing intelligence is a must. Then agility, because when I'm fighting, I don't want everything to be slowed down so much that moving becomes a pain in the ass. I'd like to increase my strength, but it's pretty good. With higher intelligence working with my inference and perception skills, I should be able to hit vital areas a lot easier. He looked to vitality and endurance. Okay, I need to put something into vitality so I don't get killed right away. Endurance, sure, every once in a while. Needing to sleep less is great, but I have the healing ability of my armor. When I fix it.
He frowned and stared at his willpower attribute. Okay, I could put stat points into you, but my regeneration is pretty high, and again, with my armor, I have a pool of 40 million mana points to pull from, not including the other armor I'm linked to. Plus, I can store my willpower as well, so that I can use it when smithing. Maybe every once in a while, but not really necessary. So that leaves intelligence, agility, and vitality being my best attributes for me to put stat points into. Might be an idea to wait a bit before doing so. Malsor carried books in his arms. The Ellas followed him. Yeah, might be an idea. Don't need to pass out again. Should we go check on the portal factory? See if we can start working on it? Dave rubbed his hands together.
Excited to start putting up your portals?
Elidorn asked. Be some time before I figure out how it all works, but got to have a plan for the future. Dave rubbed his head. His excitement might have gotten the best of him when he let those plans slip. He didn't even know if it was possible. Hopefully, Melsor could fill in the missing bits of knowledge. Well, let's go and see what you know, shall we? I'm excited to see a dwarven master smith in action, Elagal said. Dave smiled, tilting his head in thanks for the compliment.
Shard, where are we going?
Dave asked.
Same teleport pad as before. I will have it linked to the portal factory. Also, Sado called. Seems that his group has been rather busy developing the magical system. Malsor, you will be pleased to know that they have complete notes on their implementation, so as to understand its functionality.
Shard sounded rather pleased with himself.
That is incredible. I look forward to hearing about it,
Malsor said.
Give you any scrap of information and you're happy as can be.
Dave led the way to the teleport pad.
Malsor, when you increase your intelligence, did you also increase the agility in order to make up for the differences?
Ah, so the time dilation effect started kicking in.
I did, but then with training, you can still walk and talk normally, only using it in bursts when you need it. Having it active all the time wears on the mind, and you need to then work on a high endurance stat so you don't need to constantly eat food or take a nap.
You made it over level 300 for intelligence?
Elidorn asked.
Yup.
Dave looked at her and her level 279. He studied Gaul. Ella Gaul, High Elf, level 375. Dave's eyes went wide after reading Gaul's level. Elidorn laughed at Dave's wide eyes.
While Ella Gaul looks younger than me, he is almost twice my age. He's also a much stronger mage than me, though he hides it behind his weapon skills, much like your Anna and Dia.
Ella Gaul shot her a look. Their way of fighting is very interesting. I like how they have mixed their fighting styles with their melee fighting abilities. Both of them together increase their power. A smart combination.
He wants to see if they would be willing to teach him,
Elidorn said, getting a don't-tell-them-that look from her husband.
Elidorn is not one for secrets, and I was interested in the fighting style, he finally admitted.
Well, I can introduce you to them. I think they would be more than happy to show you their fighting styles, Dave reassured him. The Stone Raiders and Aleph had just started to extend their hands in friendship to one another. Things like this were the best way to make their relationship work and truly bring them together. Dave entered the teleport pad control room.
Well, let's see how much we really know about teleport pads.
Dave smiled and jumped through the teleport pad's event horizon.
Chapter 20 Rocket Man.
Come on, you've got this, Bob said from his chair.
He gripped the edges of it as he saw most of Party Zero rush through the library, leaping from the bookshelves. Steve just jumped from the floor he was on to the one above, his legs like jackhammers, leaving dents in the ground. They tore a door apart by simply colliding with it. They'd made it into a domed room. At the very top, there were rare books lining preserved cases.
Among them was the Arch-Lich's phylactery. None of the party slowed as they rushed forward. Bob gripped his seat tighter, warping the metal and the control panels, silently willing them on. Bob's eyes went wide as the glass window in the room facing outside exploded with the arrival of a screeching Arch-Lich.
"No, come on! There has to be a way!"
Bob yelled at the screen, pulling his armrests apart in frustration.
"Steve, send me right over there!"
Day pointed at the top of a spiral staircase that led to the rarest of the library's books.
"I thought you said we shouldn't do that again. You know, the last time being when you got killed and everything."
Steve scooped Dave up as they continued to sprint through the room.
"Way to jinx it. Throw me before I start regretting this. I'll leave you a spot," Dave said.
The Arch-Lich let out a scream. Dark, infused mana surrounded his body. Anna let loose with her wind blades, causing the very library to shake with their force.
"Go!"
she yelled. Induka let out her own roar. A stream of flames poured out of her hands, and her eyes turned brilliant red as the room heated up.
"Done."
Steve grabbed Dave, twirling once and then launching him.
"Just put the mana barrier up a little and then add a little safety."
Gray smoke seemed to stream ahead of Dave, a metal casing wrapping around him. The Arch-Lich started to send out a tendril of dark energy, the very library warping to try to stop Dave's progress.
"Well, fuck you too,"
Dave yelled, placing his hands on the metal. Bulbs seemed to form underneath the bullet-looking mass Dave was in, before a rigid funnel formed underneath.
"Didn't you know? I'm a rocket man, motherfucker!"
Dave yelled, the bottom of his capsule right next to Induka's flames. For a second, it looked as if he was going to be burned by them.
"Hydrogen saturation is high, nozzles are saturated," Dave said to himself.
The words burned into his mind after years of saying the words. Dave felt the spark ignite as a flame lit underneath the capsule he was in. That torch had carried humanity's hopes, dreams, and people across the stars and beyond. Dave had made a rocket, about 20 feet from the Arch-Lich's face.
"Don't fuck with a dude who makes rockets for a living," Dave muttered.
He looked out over the control panels he had seen for decades, as he had built his own spaceships.
"We've got rough combustion. Engine firing, looking good. These things are sweet. Okay, increasing the fuel consumption. Shit is costing a lot of mana to make. Fine. Fuck it. Jump starting the engine."
Dave opened the fuel valves on the rocket by simply destroying parts of them. The Arch-Lich had held on and continued to pull Dave closer in his rocket as he had achieved engine start. That was nothing to him, firing the engines. Cracks formed through the objects that held him. Dave let out a yell as he forced power into his construct, his mind and body racked with pain from channeling mana straight from his armor and through his body. The dark mana stopped pulling on Dave's rocket. For a moment, everything seemed to stop. And then Dave was racing forward. He canceled the impromptu rocket. A big bouncy castle appeared in front of him, slowing him and allowing him to change his direction, right back toward the rare books. Dave felt like a damned bobblehead from the shaking. Finally, he stopped shaking around, hearing only the sounds of his fellow Stone Raiders battling their opponents. Dave used healing on himself as he looked around. He knew the phylactery was up here because of the heavy warding. There was no need for it, other than to try to protect something. Being only made out of mana with a high dark affinity checked all the boxes. The screaming Arch-Lich was also a big checkmark. Dave cut through it with his spell formation and magical coding. He felt the Arch-Lich recovering from receiving an impromptu rocket to the face, just as he found the phylactery, hiding within a book on herb lore.
Personal choices?
Dave broke through the remaining enchantments, rushing closer to the book. Dave grabbed it, pulling it out, just as he fell to his knees. He looked at the Arch-Lich, who seemed to be the epicenter of dark mana.
It called on a legendary ability.
Fear pinned him to the ground. Dave closed his eyes as the Lich moved toward him, taking his time, as if enjoying the torment he put Dave through. Dave coughed. Blood fell on his breastplate as he held the book to his chest. Pain seemed to come from everywhere. Dave's mana barrier was failing as he worked. Dave knew the coating of his armor explicitly, which was why he knew he had one chance to win. There was no time for anything fancy. He removed the failsafes. Power surged through his body. His gray runes shone so bright, they seemed to be pure white. It made the Lich step backward as Dave stood. His mind was crumbling, fighting the creature's aura to be able to do what he needed to do, destroy his very body. The power that ran through his body, it was godlike. There was nothing he couldn't do within those few moments. Dave laughed and jumped from the tall staircase and toward the bookshelves floors below. Dave activated a secondary rune and closed his glowing eyes. The darkness of the room turned to white. Half of the stored power in his forward soul gem, nearly 30,000 mana, exploded outwards like a bomb. Pain filled Dave as the book holding the phylactery disappeared. Malsor didn't know what spell the Arch-Lich was using as it closed in on Dave, but alarm bells went off in his head. Either Dave would destroy the phylactery or not. Either way, Malsor knew that he would not come back from death like Dave, Dia, Susie, and the other Stone Raiders players with them.
Run! Malsor yelled out.
Black waves of mana seemed to billow out from his body. Magical enchantments and the feeds that the Aleph were using were overloaded as Malsor grew in power and size. He finished his transformation, grabbing Induka with his right hand, Anna with his left, and whipping his tail around Steve as his body broke through the library. If there was a power ranking for dragons, then Dinur would be the absolute peak. But after her would be Malsor. He didn't like to show off his strength, but in his dragon form, he was a force of nature to be reckoned with. His wings threw off the roof that was breaking over his back. He used all of his strength enchantments. With one powerful flap of his wings, he threw himself and his three charges out and away from the Grand Library. The library seemed to disintegrate, as if it was going through hundreds of years, crumbling and rotting from the inside. It spread at an alarming rate. Steve spread himself out, catching most of the spell, while he was on Malsor's tail, sacrificing his material body so that the others wouldn't be as affected. Anna grunted as she was hit by the spell that made it past Steve. Then a massive white light seemed to ignite the very air, spreading over the dark shadows of the Arch-Lich's legendary ability, annulling any that was in the air. Malsor glided downwards, landing heavily before the Grand Library. His belly and tail were being affected by the legendary ability. He released his charges, focusing his mana inwards. The Arch-Lich might have been a powerful entity that reveled in the dark affinity, but Malsor was much older, with a much higher magical talent in his dragon form. He absorbed the curse, his mana destroying it easily.
Steve! Malsor yelled out, looking to the metal man that was showing large amounts of decay through his metal limbs.
Looks like I'm a bit rusty at all this, Steve said,
a distorted grin showing as rust decayed his body. Malsor let out an annoyed sound. He breathed black flames over Steve, breaking the curse and the decay across Steve's form. Since he'd destroyed it in himself, it was easier to just stop the material-eating effects on Steve.
The others will need your help more, Steve said,
his voice odd. His body had decomposed, gears, soul gems, and his mithril protective plates showing in places. Malsor turned, looking to his little sister and Anna. Induka was the worst. He stabilized Anna as much as possible, slowing the curse from hurting her as he worked to free Induka from the curse raging through her veins.
"Come to Daddy!"
Jake yelled, as a massive magical formation created from dark mana ignited under the second